One Sabbath morning, Linda and I were on the road to London, Kentucky. You know, that's one of the three churches in this circuit. We're there, on our way there for services. We exited Interstate 75 when we drove down a county highway. And as we rounded a curve, we apparently hit some kind of a small object in the road. And that can happen from time to time. Well, the right front tire went flat instantly, indicated by the pervasive thumping sound, as you know, from what flat tires sound like. Well, I had to slow down, of course, and I pulled off to the side of the road, the shoulder. I then took the jack, the lug wrench, this compact spare, the so-called donut. Some of you probably have donut in your car. And took those out of the trunk. I changed the tire. It had a damaged sidewall, so it couldn't be repaired. I got back in the car, and we began driving down the road once more. But at less than a quarter mile, we again heard that clumping flat tire sound. I pulled off the road onto the grassy, muddy shoulder. It had been raining a lot, and there were pools of water in the off to the sides of the road. And I did find it was a flat tire. To my surprise, it was the same donut tire that I had just mounted on the car. It had pulled itself off the wheel almost fully. It was amazing to see that. So there we were without a spare tire and with the right side of the road now, right side of the car sinking down into the mud. It was not a pleasant situation for us. Well, after all this trouble, we were grateful when a member, John Maggard from London congregation, he was driving on his way to services and he stopped by the side of the road and he said he'd give us a ride if we paid, no, I'm just kidding there. He offered us a ride, which we were very grateful for. Now, after services, I called a wrecker to have the car towed out of the mud, and it was really, the tire was right down about halfway into the mud by that time. Both that side of the car was amazing. And I had it hauled over to a local Walmart where I had to purchase a new tire at that time. Well, a few days later, I brought a used donut tire from an auto junkyard since the old one couldn't be repaired. Well, that entire flat tire incident taught me a very valuable lesson about being prepared. You know, I had thought I was ready for a flat tire, you know, an emergency like that, but I learned quickly that I was not. I wasn't ready. All this occurred because I didn't have enough air in my spare tire. If I had done that, I wouldn't have had a problem at all. I would have been able to change the tire, go down the road, and all that. Now, a compact spare, as many of you know, should have about 60 pounds of air pressure in it. You know, even though the tire seemed okay to me when I was mounting it, it seemed a little bit, you know, it looked, when I put it on, it seemed like it was not as high as it should have been on the car, but it seemed, well, that's not so bad. It was down a little bit to me. But even that little bit made it so that it couldn't hold the weight of the car. So it pulled itself right off the tire, and that's where we were. It was not pleasant, I tell you. Well, again, as a result of this incident, I began thinking about my spiritual life. You know, was I really prepared for a spiritual emergency? I wasn't ready for that physical emergency, but was I prepared for a spiritual emergency? Or was I just assuming I was prepared on the road to eternal life? Not to London services, but to life eternal. Was I ready? What about you? Are you ready for a flat tire in your physical vehicle? But even more importantly, are you truly equipped for a spiritual crisis that could come in your life? The sermon today is entitled, Is There Air in Your Spare? Now, before we cover the spiritual aspects of this question, let's go back briefly to preparing for a physical tire. I think it's a very important lesson. It's important to note this because all tires lose air pressure over a period of time because air permeates rubber. And if a spare tire's been in a trunk of a car or under the cargo floor of an SUV or a pickup for a year or two, it's likely to become underinflated. You know, and a year or two goes by pretty quickly, so you probably don't even think about it. How many people think of their spare tire? I mean, a rare person does. I didn't very much. So an underinflated tire simply can't handle the stress of road duty or carry the same amount safely as would a fully inflated tire. If it's not filled to the manufacturer's air pressure level, it could fail to support that load. And it could even damage the wheel, as I learned by personal experience. Now, to be safe, experts recommend that vehicle owners have their spare tire checked for adequate air pressure at least twice a year. And that's from experts. So that's something that we should all consider doing. Interesting, however, a lot of cars sold in the world today just simply don't have spare tires. I don't know if you knew that. Just a lot of them don't have spare tires. For example, in July 2014, George Walkley and his wife and two young daughters found this out the hard way when they experienced a flat tire on a 25-mile road trip from Salisbury to Southampton in the United Kingdom. And they are driving on the wrong side of the road, you know, see that. You know, after hearing a thumping noise, one I heard, which indicated that flat tire, Mr. Walkley stopped his car on the side of the highway. He opened the boot, that's the trunk over there, to get the spare tire, but to his surprise, he found no tire. Rather, he discovered a tire sealer inflator kit, which included a small air compressor. That's what he found. In an interview later with the Daily Mail reporter, he said, I never had any reason to check for a spare. And when I looked at the instructions for the repair kit, I found them pretty baffling. In reading the repair kit's instructions, Mr. Walkley learned that it was not capable of fixing anything other than a small puncture. Well, considering all the time and the expense that Mr. Walkley faced due to not having a spare tire, he later said, "The next time I buy a car, I shall check that it is equipped with a spare." Well, that's pretty smart thing to do. Now, perhaps other drivers may have similar thoughts because, according to perhaps other drivers may have similar thoughts because according to Road and Driver magazine, more than 29 million cars in the United States in the last 10 model years don't have a spare tire. Drivers who aren't aware their car has no spare are likely to make that realization at the worst possible time. It goes on, it says, when they're stranded on the side of the road with a deflated tire, well, that's when they're going to find that out. In most cases, car manufacturers substitute an inflator kit for the spare tire. However, inflator kits are extremely limited in what kind of damage they can repair. They're only effective on clean punctures through the center of the tread, such as picking up a nail. Inflators can't be used on damage from a blowout, curb strike, or pothole. So if that had happened to me, you know, with the sidewall being damaged, inflator kit wouldn't have been useful at all. So what can you do if there is no spare in your car? One option is to purchase what they call run flat tires, which if punctured, you can travel a short distance at a reduced speed. Another possibility is to contract with a reliable roadside assistance plan, such as AAA. This may also be valuable if you do have a spare in your vehicle, but feel you're not capable of changing a tire. Some people feel that way. I know And Joy was, my daughter Joy was in college, or actually in high school. I taught her how to change a tire. And I showed her how to do it, then I made her do it. You know, and she had to do it all by herself. And she did have a few flat tires, and she had to change at least one of them. And sometimes, you know, when you're on the side of the road, somebody will stop, and she got some help that way. But if you just feel like you're not capable of doing it, having a roadside assistance plan would be helpful. And a lot of times, if you have full coverage on your insurance, that will be part of that as well. I don't know if you knew that. You can check with your insurance agency. Well, as illustrated, a flat tire can sometimes be very unpleasant. I mean, it wasn't unpleasant for us that day. You know, it interferes with travel plans, it can add extra expense, and when considering heavy, congested traffic and inattentive drivers on the road, it can actually be life-threatening. Just the other day, there was on the news, they showed a picture of a policeman on the side of the road talking to somebody that he had stopped or was helping, and here comes a car, smashes right into the back of the car, just like that. I don't know, but see, it's life-threatening. He lived through that, but some people don't. So it can be dangerous when you're changing a spare tire. Just remember that. Well, besides preparing for a possible flat tire on your vehicle, there is, as we touched on earlier, another type of flat that you can experience in your life. This problem can also be highly unpleasant and could itself be eternal life threatening. In this instance, we're referring to what could be described as a spiritual flat tire. This could be experienced by any of us at any time, resulting from troubles and trials and upsets and pressures that we encounter in life. Job 5, verse 7 says this, "People are born for trouble as readily as sparks fly up from a field fire." Also, 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." So trials will happen to us. And some are very big trials, as we know what's happened to the Green family recently. In fact, sometimes difficulties and emergencies occur which can affect, knock the breath, or in this analogy, the spiritual air pressure out of us. Furthermore, a spiritual flat tire has the potential of damaging our faith right to its core if we are not prepared, and there is a way to be prepared for this. It can undermine our devotion and zeal for God. It can shake our love toward Him and also for other people. It can even keep us from completing our journey on the road to eternal life. So just as a physical flat tire can occur instantly or take place gradually without our notice, so can a spiritual one. No matter how such punctures, which, you know, these ordeals, these afflictions and struggles and stresses happen, whether they happen quickly or slowly, and sometimes they just kind of grind on people. No matter how it happens, we can feel deflated. We can feel weak and sapped of emotional and spiritual motivation and energy. That's what trials and troubles can do. So the question is, when we face such deflating situations, do we have a spiritual spare tire that's ready to go, that's available, that's not been neglected, that's fully functional to get us back on the road again? If our spiritual strength is tested and challenge in a crisis, do we have a spare that hasn't been neglected? Again, hasn't gone flat. And we think we're fine, but it hasn't. We're not ready. Are we prepared spiritually? That's the question. We all have to ask. I'm telling you, this is very important. It's very important for young and old, all of us, for each one of us. So are we alert and are we ready for such situations? These are very undesirable, but they're nearly inevitable. These things happen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, be alert, be firm in the Christian faith, be courageous, be strong. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 says, so be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. These are scriptures that tell us what to do to be prepared. So is our faith and our relationship with God, is it sound? Is it healthy? Is it robust? Or is it lacking? Is it incomplete? Is it weak and inadequate? And yet we think we're doing fine. That's a question all of us need to ask ourselves. Is our spiritual life fully inflated to the manufacturer's, our creator's, recommended spiritual air pressure so it can keep us going safely down the road toward our destination, the kingdom of God? Very important question. Do we have a divine roadside assistance plan so we can get the help we need from our creator so as to get moving again after we have a spiritual flat? And we're going to all have these, so are we ready for it? Is there error in our spirit, our spiritual spirit? Hebrews 4, verse 16 says this, let us therefore come boldly to where? The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So that's where we got to go. So these are really important questions to consider because, again, trials and troubles can and do come. They come in various sizes and shapes, and they can occur at just about any time. Just as we should prepare for potential physical emergencies in our vehicles on the road, we need to be ready for likely upsets and difficulties that could threaten us spiritually. Our spiritual preparations for trials and tests ought to begin far in advance of the event, because developing durable character and spiritual staying power takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. This is especially true in developing and maintaining a close and treasured relationship with God. That's very important. So King David described how he did this very thing, and he wrote about it here in Psalm 55, verse 17. He said, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So where do we get our spiritual strength? It's from God. That's what Daniel, he prayed three times a day. Are we praying it even once a day sometimes? Or are we just not doing it at all? Apostle Paul penned an important passage. He said here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 and 18, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we're to be praying all the time. You know, when you're driving down the road, when you're talking to people, when you're in a situation at work, somebody's in your face not liking what you did, how are you going to handle it? Get your strength from God at that, even at that moment. Included in cultivating a close bond with God involves building ever stronger faith and love through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I love this scripture here. Very important scripture. Tells us something to do. Jude 20 and 21 says, but you, dear friends, must continue to build your most holy faith. Build it. Don't neglect it. Build it for your own benefit. That's why you do it. Furthermore, continue to pray in the Holy Spirit. Remain in God's love as you look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which brings eternal life. So we have this physical life, but we want eternal life. And what's ahead is the most amazing. I mean, it's going to blow our minds when we're there. So don't give up on anything. Ever give up. Quit. Prophet Isaiah recognized the tendency, though, of some people to procrastinate. He wrote this in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. call upon him while he is near. He may not be there. When if you've neglected him and you cry out, he may say, well, where have you been? I don't know you. Who are you? We can't let that happen. So how should we prepare for the time when we experience a flat tire on the road to eternal life? I'm behind myself here a little bit. I'll let you read that. The Bible explains much about having, as it were, divine air in our spirit. So let's examine this by first reviewing some biblical instruction on this, examples that are in the Bible on those who did and did not prepare. And this is not a new thing we're going to take a look at, but I think we're going to try to look at it from a different point of view today. This passage we're going to read will examine Jesus Christ's parable about the wise and the foolish virgins. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 8 says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all these virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Continuing in verse 9, but they answered, saying, no, lest we should not have enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him, and the wedding into the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11, afterward the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, surely, I say to you, I do not know you. Who are you? I don't know who you are. Watch, the lesson here is here. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. Well, considering this analogy, the analogy of air and our spirit, let's look at this parable from in a contemporary manner today. In doing so, hopefully we can see the importance of preparing diligently for likely spiritual troubles that we're going to have, these flat tires in life, on our journey to salvation, the kingdom of God. Here's the story. 10 college girls were living in an apartment house. 5 rented a room together and in a separate apartment immediately next door, the other 5 girls roomed together. One day, all the girls received invitations to attend a wedding of a highly respected professor from whom they had all taken classes at college. They were excited about this coming event, and they began planning for what they would wear and details about the trip. And they decided to take 2 cars on this journey to the wedding. 5 of the girls would travel together in one car and 5 in another on this 250-mile, 4-hour-long trip, which was to be held, of course, in a distant city. Since the wedding was scheduled to begin at 1 p.m., they knew they needed to get up early so as to get on the road. But on the day of the wedding, things do happen, they all overslept and got a late start on the road. As the 2 cars caravaned together down the interstate, the lead car experienced a flat tire and pulled off to the side of the road. The trailing car did too. In order to see what could be done to help. The driver of the disabled car quickly did what was necessary. She removed the damaged tire, replaced it with the spare tire. However, as she was doing so, she found that the spare itself was nearly as flat as the damaged tire, and therefore it was unusable. Couldn't use it. having not checked the spare for air prior to leaving on the trip, because she didn't do that, she then asked the driver of the other car if she would lend her spare tire to her. Although she wanted to do this, she declined, because without a spare tire herself, this would leave her and her passengers at risk. So she couldn't even do that. Therefore, she recommended that a tow truck be called quickly to obtain the help that was needed. The girls on the second car then continued on their journey and arrived in adequate time for the wedding. But sadly, the girls in the second car arrived late and as a result were denied entrance to the ceremony so as not to disturb its solemnity. Well, perhaps this imaginary modern-day rendition of the story of the wise and foolish virgins may, you know, help us grasp a bit of the importance of our personal spiritual preparations for the upcoming marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible talks about that in Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8 to 9. Indeed, the vital lesson in the original story about the 10 virgins of Matthew 25 is that of planning, conscientious planning and preparation for eternal life. It's not something we can just do overnight. We have to do it throughout our lives. It's about not leaving anything to chance spiritually. It's about not letting anything go unattended spiritually. It's about fully respecting and honoring and obeying God. It's about doing more, going above and beyond what is expected. It's always about going the extra mile. That's what it's about. Luke 17, verse 10 tells us this. It says, very, very important passage here. It says, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, say, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" So we're just doing what works, what's expected of us. Well, going to services, fine. We're going to get in the routine of doing that. And is that about all we do? I don't think I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just asking some questions here. So again, let's be real clear about this. All 10 of the virgins in Christ's parable genuinely desired to attend the wedding. They all wanted to be there. No question about it. In a similar way, it is certainly fitting to say that all true Christians today want to enter the kingdom of God. We all attend services, holy day services, regular Sabbath services. We're all concerned about issues that seem, we all have the same basic character. We're trying to do the right things in life. You know, we pay our tithes and offerings. We serve our fellow brethren. However, there's an important difference. Differences can appear when an especially big problem or trial arises. Those who are truly meticulous, those who are farsighted, have prepared spiritually for the unexpected. That's the difference right there. They've gone above and beyond. They haven't just done the minimum. They've done more. They've gone above and beyond. They really love God, and they just want to have that relationship with Him. And they love their fellow brethren. When they hear of somebody that needs prayers or whatever, they go to their knees and they pray for that person. And it comes from the heart. That's just examples right there. However, those who are living their spiritual lives out of that routine and repetition, kind of what I do type of thing, they're not ready. Those who are highly conscientious and perceptive have not only enough oil in their lamps, but they have more than enough in the event something unforeseen takes place. Indeed, in Jesus Christ's parable of the 10 virgins, these people who are diligent are so diligent that they're willing to carry the additional weight of the oil container, just to be sure that they're prepared in any contingency. So they got their lamp, but then they've got to carry this other weight with them. But they know they need that. They need that help. So that's what they do. So their attitude is best expressed in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Don't just do the minimum, but ask yourself, how can I do a better job? How can I be a true champion? How can I be truly successful, victorious in my life spiritually? It's a big question we have to ask ourselves. Romans 12, verse 11 says this, do not let your zeal subside. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Keep it up. That's what he's talking about here. And Colossians 3, verse 12 says, whatever you do, work at it with your whole being for the Lord and not for men. See, that God created it. You know, we wouldn't be here without our Creator giving us life. What do we owe God? I won't even answer that question. You have to answer that question. What do you owe God? The five wise virgins did all this, and in doing so proved they had air in their spare. They had that oil container. That was like a spare tire, you know. It was full of air. And they made sure it was ready to go in an emergency. And they had to, that emergency came up, and they had to be ready for it. And they knew they had to be ready for anything. So they readied themselves tirelessly for the unexpected. They had foresight. They had preparation. They were totally committed. They did what the Apostle Peter described in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. That's when you're going to get your reward. You've got to be ready. Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as a helmet the confidence of our salvation. So the five wise virgins did what these passages pointed out. They did these very things. But the five foolish virgins were simply unprepared. They were not serious. They weren't sober. They weren't ready. They didn't have a spiritual reserve. They didn't have extra oil. They had no air in their spare. They did only the minimum to merely get by in their relationship with Jesus Christ, and as a result, they came up short. How are you doing? Young people, older people, all of us, let's examine ourselves. Let's take a look and say, well, if I put the effort into this, God has called me, young people, old people. He's calling us. Are we just kind of ignoring it, walking away and making it, well, that's just for somebody else? No, if you're here today, you understand what I'm saying. It's for you too. Very important. So, again, because of these foolish virgins' lack of diligence, entrance to the kingdom of God and everlasting life was denied to them. Christ said, I don't even know who you are. Bad situation. Devastating eternal words, Christ said to them. So again, what's the lesson for you and me? It's about doing more than is what is expected, not letting down in our efforts to secure life's greatest treasure. Right? It's not the physical things in this life. It's not having fun and going places, although that's a great thing. But it's what's beyond in that wonderful world that God has in store for us that is going to be the most amazing thing we could ever imagine. So we want to be there. Our family's going to be there. But we want to be there with them, or do we want to be left behind? That's not a fun situation. So it's about checking It's about examining ourselves to make sure we have ideal spiritual air pressure. Why is this so important? Because Christ said in the last verse of his parable, he said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Let's note something very important about Christ's statement here. Let's pose a question. When, in your case, when is the Son of Man coming in your life and mine? When's that going to happen? This could certainly be when we're changed from physical to spirit at the future time when Jesus Christ returns to earth from heaven. You know, it'd be great. We're all there. Well, what if we die before that event takes place? Of course, you know, and it can happen to anybody. I mean, look how the situation affected this the families in this congregation here recently, you know. Jesus is there coming. Well, Jesus is coming. Therefore, if that happens, if we die before the event of Jesus Christ's return, it'll be the next instance of our consciousness following death, right? So this will either be at the first resurrection to eternal life or in the resurrection to the second death in the lake of fire, in the great white throne judgment. Well, no, we don't want that to happen. But that's a reality. Let's face it. We know that. Since we don't know when our physical death in this life will occur, we need to expend every ounce of energy all the time so that we are prepared for that sure but unknown, that unknown date of our death. We've got to be ready. I mean, we could go out today and drive down the road and have a truck hit us, and that's it. So are we ready at this moment? How many of us, if I ask for a show of hands, don't raise your hands, but how many of us are ready? I don't think I'm ready. So we have to really examine ourselves when it comes to these things. I'm not trying to be morbid or anything like that. I'm just trying to make us see how important this is, because things happen in life. And we can't just necessarily plan for 10 years from now. We should plan ahead, but we don't know what events will happen between now and then. So when that event, great event, takes place, he can then, if we've done the right thing, he can say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, faithful throughout your life, faithful following me and doing what I asked you to do." So let's now consider another parable briefly about Christians who are not preparing spiritually, who have no air in their spirits, right here in Revelation 3, verse 14. Let's read that. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and have need of nothing.' And yet, do you not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked?" Verse 17 in particular expresses this person's feeling of complacency and self-satisfaction. He said, you know, again, and let's read it. He said, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. It tells us that he doesn't really think he needs anything more than what he's already been doing. It's good enough. He thinks he's doing just fine spiritually, but he certainly isn't, and he just can't see it, though. Just can't see it. But Christ informs him about his true spiritual state of unpreparedness when he said, "You're miserable. You're wretched. Poor, blind, and naked. He may be doing great physically, but spiritually, he's just not all there. He's let a lot of things go. Not only does he not have air in his spare, so to speak, but his other tires are nearly bald. They're leaking air. His engine is misfiring. His radiator is seeping fluid, and his windshield is so dirty he can hardly see through it. That's him spiritually here. Sure, he attends Sabbath and holy day services and does what others do outwardly, but spiritually he is badly losing ground. And he thinks he's doing fine, but he's not. That's this parable that we're looking at here, looking at it from a contemporary point of view. What is this laid-back Christian's real problem? It's that he has faulty priorities. Although he may be great at business and other human endeavors, maybe he's a great student, whatever he is really careless in placing first and foremost the important things of life. He's not fervent. He's not relentless in pursuing his divine calling. He's really not doing that. He's not eager to talk to God in prayer or to study the words that lead to eternal life. He's not willing to do that. He's not energetic about making sacrifices to serve his fellow brethren or develop relationships with them. Nor is he enthusiastic about guarding carefully the standards and principles of God. He is blind spiritually in that he is unaware, unknowing, unobservant, and neglectful. And yet, he thinks he's doing great. This listless Christian is spiritually naked because he's dominated and governed by his human interests. Not that those are wrong, but they've taken a bigger part of his life than should be. Rather, he's not listening to God. He's not listening to his desires for this person to be preparing for the kingdom of God. He goes on. He says he's wretched and miserable because although he seems to have everything going for him physically, he's actually retreating spiritually in his war against himself. You know, we got to fight our nature, our carnal nature. We got to fight Satan's influence. We got this world we got to go up against every day. Sometimes I'm too tired. Oh, forget it. I don't need to do any more. I'm done. Not only does he need a tune-up and a clean-up and new tires, but he certainly needs to put air in his spare. And gratefully, all this can be done. His situation isn't hopeless. The Apostle Paul told the Christians in Rome that they needed to get busy on what was really important. He said in Romans 11, 13, verse 11, "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. So wake up," Paul says, "for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." So that's not just for those people a couple thousand years ago. That's for us today. How are we doing? So this is true for the lethargic Christian today. It's not hopeless. He can change, but he has no time to waste. He needs to get quickly moving down the road again. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 says that the sluggish Christian must stir up the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And he says, which is in you. Stir it up. If he is willing to do this and devote himself to repenting, turning, changing, that's all what that means, overhauling his spiritual condition, he can be revived and begin to thrive. So it's not hopeless at all. That everybody can change. Everybody can wake themselves up and go to God and say, God, I need some help here. This is expressed powerfully in the following verses in Revelation 18, verse 3. Revelation 3, verse 18. It says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the saint name, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So he's telling them, listen, any of us can change. If we're kind of bending the doldrums, and we've got to shake that off and get back on the road. Goes on in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, there's that key word, got to overcome our nature, human nature, Satan, the devil, and the world. I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, what the Spirit says to you and me here today. So what about you and me? What about us? Each of us will experience flat tires spiritually. That's just going to happen in life. And that results from the troubles we experience, from ordeals and afflictions and pressures. They come from all different angles. They can come at any time and any size. But if we have air in our spare, or we have a roadside assistance plan, we can recover from those flats and get moving quickly down God's divine highway. It's about exercising genuine faith and having a relationship with our Creator that is deep and sound and healthy and robust. And that's for all of us here. Doesn't matter how old or young we are. And we're striving to live God's way of life. It's also about being spiritually motivated, about being highly conscientious, doing more than the minimum. It's about, again, going above and beyond in our relationship with God while preparing diligently to enter his divine family. So, to wrap it up, let's not leave anything to chance as we journey on the road to eternal life. So are you prepared? Are you preparing right now? Is there air in your spirit?